Macmillan Digital Audio and Belinda present this unabridged recording of
August Heat by Andrea Camilleri, translated by Stephen Sartorelli and read by Mark Meadows. Chapter 1. He was sleeping so soundly that not even cannon fire could have woken him. Well, maybe not cannon fire, but the ring of the telephone, yes. Nowadays, if a man living in a civilized country, ha, hears cannon blasts in his sleep, he will, of course, mistake them for thunderclaps, gun salutes on the feast day of the local saint, or furniture being moved by the upstairs neighbours, and go on sleeping soundly. But the ring of the telephone, the triumphal march of the mobile, or the doorbell, no. Those are sounds of summons to which the civilized man, ha-ha, has no choice but to surface from the depths of slumber and answer. So Montalbano got out of bed, glanced at the clock, then at the window, from which he gathered that it was going to be a very hot day, and went into the dining room, where the telephone was ringing wildly.
"Salvo, where were you? I've been trying to get hold of you for half an hour."
"I'm sorry, Livia. I was in the shower, so I couldn't hear the phone." First lie of the day? Why did he tell it? Because he was ashamed to tell her he had still been asleep, or because he didn't want to embarrass her by telling her she'd woken him? Who knows?
"Did you go to look at the house?"
"Livia, it's barely 8 o'clock.
I'm sorry. I'm just so desperate to know if it's all right."
The whole business had started about 2 weeks before, when he'd had to tell Livia that, contrary to plan, he would not be able to leave Vigata for the first half of August because Mimi Argello had been forced to take his holiday earlier than expected due to complications with his in-laws. But the change had not produced the calamitous results he had feared. Livia was very fond of Beba, Mimi's wife, and of Mimi himself. She had complained a little, of course, but Montalbano had thought that would be the end of it. He had been wrong. Way off the mark, in fact. The following evening, Livia had called back with a surprise request.
"I'm looking for a house, straight away, 2 bedrooms, living room, by the sea, in your area."
"I don't understand. Why can't we just stay at my place in Marinella?"
"You can be so stupid, Salvo, when you put your mind to it. I meant a house for Laura, her husband, and their little boy."
Laura was Livia's dearest friend, the one to whom she confided her joyful and not-so-joyful mysteries. "They're coming here."
"Yes. Do you mind?"
"Not at all. I think Laura and her husband are very nice, you know that. It's just that..."
"It's just what?"
"Jesus, what a pain. I was hoping we could finally spend a little more time together, just the two of us, alone." A laugh rather like that of the witch in Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. "What's so funny?"
"What's so funny is that you know damn well the only one who's going to be alone is me. Me and nobody else. While you're spending your days, and maybe even your nights, at the station working on the latest murder.